We are thankful to be here together to worship God this morning. We are especially grateful for our visitors. We're glad that you're with us. We have a number of visitors, and usually we're graced by such, but this morning we're especially so. We're especially thankful for our visitors from Brown Trail School of Preaching. I think in class I mistakenly transferred them to Bear Valley, but since I did that, I'll transfer them back where they belong to Brown Trail School of Preaching. And we are so very encouraged by them being here and by the good they're doing in school and for the good we hope they'll do in the years and perhaps decades to come in furthering the Lord's cause and broadening the borders of the Lord's kingdom. The Christian life is the best life we'll ever imagine. It is the best of all lives. It is described as a way to be traveled, as a fight to be fought, and as we just saw a moment ago in our reading, as a race to be run. Now, Paul will say that when you run a race, you have to run, and you have to compete, and you hope to win. And to do so, you have to have discipline in the process. And this isn't the only time the New Testament talks about the Christian way and fight and race being described as an actual race. You might remember in Hebrews chapter 12, after extolling the wonders of the faith of those in chapter 11, he says that considering this great cloud of witnesses, those of chapter 11, let us run with patience the race set before us. We have a race to be run as Christians. And also the Apostle Paul at the end of his life in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, realizing that very soon he's to be martyred for the cause of Christ. He will say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so in 1 Corinthians 9, it's a race to be run. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's a race to be run with endurance, with patience. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it is a race to be finished. And I think all of us have this in common this morning. At some point in our past, we have been involved in running a race. It may have been a competitive race in school. It may have been a private race with a friend. But there's not a one of us that at some time didn't race somebody for some distance, somewhere, for some reason. I remember growing up as a boy at home that very often, every day or two, Dad and I would race and race and race until finally I reached my teenage years, and I remember the one time that I won. And I don't know why, but that's the last time we ever raced. And then, like many of you, I did some running in school, in track. And though not at the Olympic level by any means, and that's in the background of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9, that he was there really close to the very beginning of the Olympic Games. That was in the minds of so many. But many of us perhaps have run a race competitively, and I don't know everything there is to know about it. But I know three things. And these three things are what I'd like to leave with you this morning. If you're going to be successful in a race, you've got to enter it, number one. If you're going to be successful in a race, you've got to run by the rules, number two. And if you want to be successful in a race, you've got to actually finish the thing. You've got to start it, run it by the rules, and finish. And you say, that's very simplistic. Well, yes, that's about the way my mind works. I can grasp that. And these all three play out in our Christian race. You can't enjoy the benefits of finishing the course, as Paul said he did, unless you first actually enter the race. And of course, the Christian race is the life of Christ, the life where we wear His name, having been born of water and spirit, having our souls cleansed by His blood, and thus having become new creatures. That is the beginning of the race. That is our entering the race. It's not all there is to it. There's a lot more beyond it, but that's where you start. In Acts chapter 2, you have 3,000 souls in one day hearing the word of God, being touched and cut by that word in their very hearts, and then responding to what they're told to do. They cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" when they are convicted of their own sins, to which Peter responds by saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, Luke goes on to tell us. And thus you have 3,000 souls that had not been a part of this race because it wasn't in existence before. But now Christ has come, He's died, His blood has been shed, and now the invitation is given, that by repentance and baptism, sins can be washed away. They can be remitted by the grace of God in Christ. And thus these 3,000 who hear that respond to it, and they're forever changed by it. And that day they begin a new life, yes. They begin to walk a new way, absolutely. They have a fight ahead of them, that's true. But they also start this Christian race. There is no other way to start the Christian race than by actually obeying the gospel. Oh, you'll have those perhaps outside the arena of Christianity peering inside and wondering about the hypocrisy of Christians, comparing their lives to those who might run the race inside the arena, saying to themselves or to others, "I'm as good as they are. I live a good life. I'm doing my best to be good to my neighbor and kind to strangers and unselfish with my means. I'm doing my best to be the best I can be." And yet, having not entered the race, they can't hope to finish it. You can't be saved aside from Jesus Christ. That's the long and short of it. Now I'll use His own words. He said in John 14 and verse 6, this is Jesus speaking, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Not a lot of wiggle room there for some other way, some other race, some other way of living, some other philosophy. No wiggle room at all. Jesus says if your goal is to be with the Father, of course to be in heaven one day, the only way to get there is by coming through Jesus, by obeying the gospel, by enjoying the cleansing of His blood in baptism, by entering the Christian race. Later on in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter will reflect upon this very fact when he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now Peter is saying the same thing Jesus had said. Jesus had said, "No way to the Father but by me." And Peter says, there's no salvation outside of Christ. Only in Christ and obeying the gospel is one able to enter into the race. And no matter how good you are otherwise, you're not good enough. No matter how right you think you might be otherwise, you're not right enough. None of us can save ourselves from the calamity of sin. It's not possible. And so, we have to actually enter the race. Now, we all want to end up where Paul was ending up at the end of his life. We all want to be able to say, I've finished my course. I've run a good race. But let me ask you, friend, have you ever started the race? You might be here this morning and you're not even a Christian. You're to the age where you could be. You've realized sin is in your life and you need to walk away from that sin and do something about it. You know that you need to be a better person, and the only way to have remission of these sins is in the blood of Christ. Have you ever had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism? Have you ever started the Christian race? And no matter what books you might read, what philosophy you might have, what ideas you might conjure up, you can never substitute for what Jesus says. He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16. Jesus said that. And so we have to first enter the race. But then second, we have to run the race by the rules. Every once in a while, I'll read an account of somebody running a longer race, sometimes even a marathon, and they get caught cheating. They'll start it with the rest, and then they'll kind of venture off the course, and they'll get on a bicycle or a motorcycle or be picked up by a car and then dropped off toward the end and try to blend back in with the racers as if they're part of them, and they'll finish the race and they've cheated. They haven't run the race. And sometimes you'll have people trying to start before the gun, start early. Sometimes you'll have people in the race trying to knock others down to get ahead of them. All kinds of ways to cheat in a race. But as you know, you can't actually win the thing unless you run by the rules of the race. And I know there are people who like to think that because we're free in Christ and we've left sins behind, that there are no rules for us as Christians to be involved with. Yes, the New Testament is a document of love. God so loved the world. But that does not mean that God doesn't expect things of us as Christians. We're not just going about our own way, doing our own thing, based upon our own made-up rules. That's not the way Christians are supposed to behave. In fact, a moment ago we looked at those 3,000 who obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 2. Who entered the race. What do they do next? Now I'll remind you again, when they ask what they should do, they're told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Those that gladly received his word, Peter's words, were baptized. There were added to them the same day about 3,000 souls. But then Acts 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. That means that they didn't just do things as they wanted. They didn't make up rules as they went along. They didn't decide for themselves what others would have to live by. They bent their will and bowed their hearts to what God was saying through these inspired apostles. And though these apostles have long since left this life, their word and the word of inspired men lives on in the pages of our New Testaments. And we are absolutely bound by what the New Testament teaches. Oh, but I heard Brother So-and-so say, oh, forget Brother So-and-so. Oh, I read an interesting book. Oh, forget that book. What does the Bible say? And the only thing we have to keep us on the straight and narrow as we run this Christian race is what the New Testament teaches. That's it. You want to know what is expected of one to become a Christian? It's there in the New Testament. You want to know what Christian life is all about in terms of morality and ethic? It's right there in the New Testament. You want to know how families should work, how husbands and wives and children and parents should work together? It's right there in the New Testament. You want to know how the church should worship and what worship should look like and consist of? It's right there in the New Testament. You want to know the purpose and thrust and direction and work of the church? It's right there in the New Testament. It's no more difficult than that. It's just as simple as that, but it depends upon that. Yes, this Christian race has some rules attached to it. Absolutely. You want to know why there's such a diverse blend of this kind of religion and that kind of religion attached to the Christian ideas around the world and across our nation, why there's so many churches? It's because we haven't all decided as God's people to be just God's people and as Christians to do things just based upon what the New Testament teaches. We have sometimes questions that come from outsiders who visit, and they say, well, why don't you use the instrument? Why do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Why do you only have the men leading in the worship? A lot of questions, but all the questions have the same answer. We do what we do because the New Testament teaches it. Because if it's something beyond and outside, the New Testament doesn't authorize it, doesn't allow it. And though sometimes as individuals, sometimes as congregations, we are imperfect in our performance, we know what right is and what wrong is and what the Bible teaches, and it's our duty to live up to what the Bible says. You've got to run the race according to the rules. Now that said, I can't make up my own. I can't make up some rules that work for me. Well, I get up first thing in the morning and I read my Bible. And so unless you get up first thing in the morning and read your Bible like I do, you're not near to the Christian I am. No, I've just made up a rule out of whole cloth. And I have no right to make up rules for you. No, we have no right to make up rules, but we have no right to dismiss the rules that God has made. And so first you have to enter the race. Second, you have to run according to the rules of the race. And then, it should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway, you've got to finish it. And in so many cases, you've got people who start strong. And they're determined to run by the rules of what the New Testament teaches. But because of the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of riches or distractions here or there or discouragement, for whatever reason, they just, for some reason, give up and quit and go back to the world. Even someone like Demas. It's interesting there in the last chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Interesting the contrast between Paul, who's about to die for the cause of Christ, and finish his course. And Demas, mentioned in the same chapter, who has forsaken, having loved this present world. What a contrast. Now Demas had been an effective and faithful minister for years before this. But now, when it mattered, when the rubber met the road of persecution and difficulty and adversity, for whatever reason, well, we know the reason, he loved this present world. He gave up and quit. And it's not enough to be able to say, well, I had all these years of faithfulness. Well, no, are you faithful now? Are you faithful until? Are you even faithful unto death, as Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us? Oh, I was baptized once. Well, that's good. But what happened after that? And have you continued all the way until now? And will you all the way until the end? In Revelation 2 and verse 10, we find the words, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee, unto you, a crown of life." And so, yes, we must begin. Have you? We must run according to the rules. Are you? And we must be willing to keep running, keep working, keep living for Christ, even unto death if needs be, until the very end. Would to God all of us could say one day, as the Apostle Paul, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." If this morning you're outside of Christ or you've wandered away from Him, come back and come as together we stand and sing.